I'm always intrigued by the idea of the before times, especially the time before sin came into the world. What draws me into the creation story isn't the explanation for why the world is the way it is, but the glimpse that we get of something truly extraordinary before sin came. Our readings open just as the Trinity reaches into the dust and fashions a creature unlike any of the others he's made so far. This creature, this human, he makes in his own image and gives his own breath, his very life. He then creates a woman from the same substance as man and places these images of himself in the garden with a mandate to continue the work he began. We see Adam flourishing under this mandate. He's naming the creatures, and he's tending the garden. Eve joins with him, and together, in fellowship with the Lord, they begin to establish the first culture. And that all this comes before sin enters the world is important because it shows us that human contributions to creation were good, and culture was meant to grow and develop with human creativity leading the way. God's creation, and therefore human creativity, before and apart from sin, was entirely good. But then Adam and Eve throw it all away. They choose to take their destiny in their own hands, and in doing so, their ability to create thoroughly good things was lost. Their ability to work side by side with the Creator is taken away. The image of the Almighty in them is tarnished. Death came immediately, not their physical death, but the death of definitive human good, the death of Adam's, Eve's, and by extension, our relationship with God. Humans were gifted with God's image, his breath, fellowship with him, and his blessing on their endeavors. Our mutiny against the Creator's order is the root cause of all the wrong we see and experience. We decided that God's instruction wasn't actually good at all, and in doing so, we broke something precious, and now all of creation groans. But even in our separation from God, he gives us a glimpse of something good to come. The serpent's head will be crushed.
The Lord enters into a covenant with Abraham to create a people for himself, Israel. God's people are to be a light and blessing to the nations, and in so doing, draw all people back to their Creator. For God's vision was always far bigger than just having one people for his own. Through Moses, God provides the law, boundaries and instructions for how God's people can stay in right relationship with him. However, no matter how hard they try, they cannot keep the law. No matter how many sacrifices are offered on their behalf, they cannot walk alongside him who made them as they did in Eden. They cannot stand in his presence. They cannot bear to see his face. God's chosen people choose other gods instead of the true God. Israel, whose earthly kings have rejected the lordship of the true king, goes into captivity. But the Lord knows his people will again seek his face. The prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah announce that the tables are being turned. The sins of Israel and the resulting captivity are over, and a new thing is about to happen. The Lord himself is going to come to his people. He will become both the sacrificed and the priest offering it on behalf of those who choose him. Their sins will be forgiven. He himself will walk alongside them. He will be present with them, and they will see his face. The good shepherd is coming to tend his flock. He is coming to put his law and his living word in the hearts of his people, that they may once again know him.
A promise. A promise made to an unlikely choice for a king, David. A promise of a Messiah. A sign of a virgin who will conceive and bear a son, and we will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us, the Word. The Word will be here on earth, who will be our shepherd and the strength of the Lord. A promise made 400 years before Mary was born. A plan that God had to rescue us all from the moment sin entered into the world, to save us from ourselves. A light to guide us when we are surrounded by the darkness. A shepherd who will guide us as he stands in the strength of the Lord. The Messiah who will fight against the darkness and win, so we can live in the light with him for eternity. Size doesn't matter to God. Bethlehem was and is a small town. Age doesn't matter to God. David was told he would be king as a teenager. What does matter is our willingness to be the lights in the darkness, for us to proclaim and share the promise that the prophets made of the coming Messiah, that his promise was made true on that dark, cold night where God was made man, and our hopes and our fears were met in him that night. The promise now is to pray for his return. God isn't finished with us yet, guys. The Messiah will come again. People are still waiting to hear the good news of the Messiah, waiting in the darkness for the light to come. Will you guide them to that light? Will you tell them the promise?
There's a notion among too many Christians that the good news, the message of the gospel, is that we can be saved and that our souls will go to heaven when we die. And that's true, of course. I'm not preaching against that. But the gospel is so much more than simply the salvation of our souls. The good news of the gospel is that all of creation will be restored. It will all be put right. The whole universe, which got knocked off balance by our sinful behavior, will be brought back into balance. It will function once more the way God originally designed it. Even our own bodies, which bear within our own skins the result of sin and death, will be resurrected and restored. We read this passage from Job in every Anglican funeral service. It may be my favorite passage of Scripture. Job says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold. Even though my body will decay, yet in my flesh I will see God with my eyes." Our readings this morning promises us that at the end of things, God will win and sin and death will be defeated. Nothing that God has created will go down to death. Death shall have no dominion, and death itself shall die. All will be restored, and that is good news. Come, Lord Jesus, return to us and restore us along with all your creation. Bring joy to your world. Amen.